In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join our hearts and thoughts and minds in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come again before your presence to hear your word. So we ask that you would come to be with us. You would open your word. You would loose the tongue of your servant to speak your word. You would open our hearts to receive that word that you have intended for us to hear. We thank you, dear Father, that you have called us into the hearing of your word, that you have forgiven us, your children, our sins, and that you have promised unto us eternal life if we can believe by grace in your promises through the redemption work of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank you for all the blessings you have given unto us as we have traveled here upon this earth. This gift of life, this gift of faith, this gift of all temporal things that you have given unto us, your children. We yet ask that you would allow your word to be proclaimed here in this world, so that all men would be able to hear that there is a place of forgiveness and hope placed here, and it is found in your kingdom. Let us open our mouths to speak of that hope here in this world. And because our prayers seem to be so empty, we yet turn to thee with that perfect prayer which your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the beginning of these services, I need to be strengthened and encouraged that will you forgive me for my doubts and sins this morning? If God so wills, we will speak from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from the second chapter, reading verses 33 through 40. And as we pause before these words, we could consider the theme for this Sunday. And the theme is the Holy Family. The words are in Jesus' name as follow. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Amen. We have heard spoken from this portion of Scriptures many times. And at often times when I hear this portion of God's Word, I stop and think of this happening so many years ago. I sometimes try to put myself in the position of the parents of the earthly parents of the baby Jesus. We have heard these last few days of the type of person that God had chosen to bring the Christ child into this world. It's easy for me to think that the people that the Bible speaks of, the former travelers that endeavored in the kingdom of God, must have been quite a bit different than myself. I don't think they were much different than those of us that sit here in the pews or sit here from even this place this morning. They were those type of people that seemed to be so lacking in faith in our Heavenly Father. Those people that found themselves before God as such small individuals. Those type of people that stood before God with hearts that oftentimes surrounded by doubts. That it isn't so. That a person such as I could truly be loved by the Heavenly Father. Joseph and Mary were probably not those that were well known here upon the earth before this great happening. This happening of scriptures that is greater than all others. This happening of the fulfillment of the promise of God. We can learn from scriptures how God, our Heavenly Father, looks upon His created people upon this earth. He does not regard our temporal calling. He does not regard the great achievements in temporal life when He chooses His children. He chooses His children based on this one matter, that they find themselves to be great sinners with nothing to offer for salvation, but wanting to accept that what God has done for them. That He made a way for them through the work of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This happening of scriptures which we have to study this morning was now 40 days after the birth of Jesus. So this would be a month and a few days now after Christmas. Mary and Joseph had seen those beautiful things how those shepherds came there to glorify God there in the stable. Quite possibly, I don't know the sequence of events happening soon after the birth of Jesus, but quite possibly already those three wise men, or how many there were, I'm not certain. The Bible doesn't say that there were three, but we oftentimes think that there was three of them that came from the east. And had searched through Jerusalem, and then had been told, when the Holy Scriptures was opened, and it was found in scriptures where they could find the Christ child, They then found the baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary. I'm sure Mary and Joseph had never seen these men before. The Bible says of the mother of Jesus, Mary, as these things of Scriptures happened, she kept them in her heart and she pondered them. We remember that when the angels had appeared unto Mary and had made this announcement unto her that God had chosen her to bring this child into the world, she was so uplifted in faith that God, when he looked for a woman upon this earth to bring this child here into the world, he chose her. We can read, and maybe it's in the first chapter, maybe we can even read what Mary had said. The angel came unto Mary and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We can even think of this portion of God's word and think that God even looks at you, dear brothers and sisters, in the same way this morning. That thou art highly favored. In spite of what we are, God looks at you as his children. When Mary saw this angel, she was troubled at his saying. She wondered, well, what is this now? And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. That what is it that this angel is now speaking unto me, that the salutation, what does this all mean? When God looks at her and says that she's highly favored among women. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And then he goes on to announce this, and it says, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of thy father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said that, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? We have heard already through these services in the last few days that how this birth took place, that Mary was a virgin and she was not married. And so she thought, as we would think, that how shall this be? And so the angel answered this, and the angel answered and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And we can read a few verses down. In the 38th verse, it says, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste, and into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So we can see these happenings of surrounding 9 months before the birth of Jesus, which we had just celebrated a few days ago. And now the 40 days after his birth, when we are now studying this portion of God's Word, when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into Jerusalem. So Mary and Joseph were obedient unto the Word of God. The Old Testament writings record that when a male child shall come forth of the womb, shall open the womb, and I think it's in the book of Leviticus where it states in this way of what those things shall be done. That after the days of her purification, that she will be unclean for... Now, I don't remember, I didn't read this previous to coming, but was it 7 days and then 40 days, 33 days afterwards, or something to that effect, but I think it's for 40 days, then they were to bring this child to the temple and make an offering unto God. And so, Mary and Joseph were believers, so they would have wanted to follow God's Word. And so it is for us that we're believers and we want to live and believe and do according to God's Word. And if we would have lived in the Old Testament time, I'm sure those of us that have children, we would have visited Jerusalem on 40 days after the birth of that child that opened the womb. And so we wouldn't have been any different than Mary and Joseph on this day when they brought that child there now. And so we can even think and pause to consider what it could have been those 40 days for Mary and Joseph if they were surrounded, I would assume, but they were surrounded by those believers of God that had come to see now this Christ child. But so it was that they brought this child there now, and they could read in scriptures, I suppose, those things now of what this child would have to endure upon this earth. But I would assume that they would be like you and I. Most of us don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen tomorrow. At least I don't have any great revelations on those things that will happen tomorrow. But I would assume that Mary and Joseph considered now what their life would be like, what type of changes would now happen in their life. But so it was on this day that Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him, is how our text begins. So previous to this, when they had come into Jerusalem, Simeon, the old man Simeon, had been there in the temple. And I would assume that Simeon had heard from those shepherds that had visited Mary and Joseph in that stable in Bethlehem. They had spoke, as the Bible says, that they spread those things abroad, those things that they had seen there at the stable. And so it was, Simeon was a believer, so he would have heard that message of joy that those shepherds had now begun to spread here in this world. And so Simeon, I'm sure, came there to the temple waiting now for the baby Jesus to come, because he would have known that Mary and Joseph would have brought that child now 40 days after his birth into the temple. And I would assume that not only Mary and Joseph were there to make those sacrifices unto God, but there would have been other mothers and fathers there also bringing those sacrifices for the birth of their children. But so it was that it was revealed unto Simeon, now as Mary and Joseph entered the temple, that this child is the Lord Christ. And so he began to speak and prophesy of the things surrounding this child. And maybe we should back up a little bit before our text and read here. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So he was a believer. He carried the Holy Ghost, even as you, dear brothers and sisters that sit here this morning, God has given you His Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit. It's the third portion of the Godhead. It's that third portion which we know the Father is the first, and the Son is the second, and the Holy Ghost is a third portion of the Godhead. So as you sit here this morning, you are carrying God's Spirit. Those of you that have believed God's Word and have been redeemed of your sin, and that your sin has been forgiven, you now carry the Holy Spirit of God in this world. And sometimes we might hear in this world that, well, how can you people forgive sins? Even as it was thought in Jesus' time that how can man forgive sins? That only God can forgive sins. And that's true. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus was that second portion of the Godhead. And we today are that third portion, those of us that carry God's Spirit. When you forgive man their sins, it's not you that forgives it, but it's God through that Spirit that forgives that sin. We can read in Scriptures from the New Testament writings how... Now, I'm not certain how it is written, but they had questioned Jesus that about how can you forgive sins. And Jesus says that, it says from the book of Psalms, that I'm not certain what psalm it is, but it's written in this way that God had said of His believers, those that had believed Him, that ye are gods. And so we might think that, well, what does this mean that God says that ye are gods? Certainly we know what we are. We're sinners upon this earth. But we're God's children. And you carry God in your heart through His Spirit. And so what this means is that through that Spirit we can forgive man their sins. It's a hard thing for man to accept and to understand. But those that have been given God's Spirit can trust in that. And we know what that Spirit does. I'm sure every man and woman and child that sit here in this facility this morning knows the power of that Spirit. When you have been forgiven your sins, you know where that power came from. It came from God. It didn't come from another man, but that Spirit to believe that those sins were forgiven came from God. And it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. God had told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Jesus. And so he had seen that promise of God. And now he asked that he could now receive that blessing of everlasting life in heaven. A few days ago, we were here in this building for a service of a departed brother that has gone to glory. And in his last moments upon this earth, his last days, when we blessed one another, he says, "I'm not now afraid to die." He wasn't afraid to go to the place that God had promised him. His sins were forgiven through God's Spirit. There was no fear to go there. We don't need to fear either. When our sins are forgiven, we do not need to fear God. And that is how Simeon felt. And he continues. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So they now considered, what does this mean? What does it mean that these things now, that Simeon now spoke? But Simeon did not stop there, he says. And Simeon blessed them. Notice, dear brothers and sisters, how God's children, the service they do unto each other. They bless one another. The greatest of all blessings that a man can receive upon this earth is this blessing from the house of God, that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And he said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Certainly we've even witnessed this here in our time, this sign, and how this kingdom of God is spoken against. Many have taken opportunity to attack the kingdom of God, or to try to spread false things against this kingdom. This was the same when Jesus was upon this earth. I'm sure many people, when they looked at this couple, Mary and Joseph, and their situation in life upon the earth, and Joseph, in his daily calling, as he was a carpenter, and he went to work, and I would assume that his son Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus helped him in his daily calling. The Bible says that Jesus also became a carpenter. So he did that earthly work upon this earth. He was 30 years old, we remember, when God had now chosen to do that public ministry, which the Lord Jesus did for 3 years or so. So previous to that, Jesus would have worked with his father. And I'm sure many people had probably heard through the believers that this child was the Savior of mankind. And I'm sure many people thought with their minds that, well, how could this be? This man, he works with his father, and they're carpenters. But how could that be? Even as many might even say today that, well, how is it that God's Spirit could only dwell here with the children of God, these believers, these Lestadians, the term that we're oftentimes referred to here in this world. And then he continues, "And yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So then he goes on to tell Mary that now this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many.
And not only this, but a sword will pierce through thine own soul also. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The thoughts of many hearts is revealed through the spoken word of God. When God's word reaches the heart of all man, whether we're a believer of God's word or we're traveling in the ways of this world, and you are in the hearing of God's word, God's word affects in the heart. And it's not man that does that work, but it is our Heavenly Father. It's through His Spirit and through His power. And man can try to ignore that effect in their heart. But man cannot deny that word finds a place in the heart and there's an effect there. Our text continues, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Now there was this woman, an old woman there in the temple. The Bible says that she had lived 84 years from her virginity. She had been married at one point in time. The Bible doesn't say if she had any children, but she was there and came to the temple. She was a believer, and she found herself in need of God's word and mercy and His grace. Even as here this morning, there are some widows. You have come to hear God's word. And so it was that Anna also was in need of God's word. And so she came to the temple there. And maybe she also, as Simeon, had heard that great news of Christmas, how Jesus Christ had been born in this world. And maybe she also was, well, she would have known the Holy Scriptures and what it says for those parents of Jesus and the things that they should do for this child. And so she also was in Jerusalem, and she, when she seen this child, it was revealed unto her that now here was her Christ's child, the Savior of her sins. That one that could redeem her from her sins. And so it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So then she saw this baby Jesus there in the temple, 40 days old. And she began to speak unto all people that looked for forgiveness, looked for hope, needed forgiveness upon this earth. She began to speak unto them that here, this child has come for you. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to man. He was the fulfillment of that promise that He gave to Adam and Eve, that He had given unto Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Rebekah, to Jacob, to all the sons of Jacob, to all people that have lived upon this earth. God has spoken that He would send a Savior to redeem them from sin. This was that promise that Anna had believed. Now she's seen the fulfillment of that promise through Jesus Christ. And she began to speak, even as you, dear brothers and sisters, when you are asked, what is that hope that you have. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus, that our sins are forgiven. And so when somebody asks you that, what is that hope? You can simply say that my sins are atoned for. And they're forgiven through the redemption work of Jesus Christ. God has forgiven me through His Spirit. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So Mary and Joseph were able to see and to hear the prophecy of this son, Jesus. Those things that maybe were troubling, that what would this mean? That a soul would pierce through the heart of the mother of the baby Jesus. These signs that would be spoken against. The rising and fall of many. They returned to Nazareth. Mary pondered and kept these things in her heart. So it is. Mary even could be pictured as the kingdom of God. Oftentimes there's troubling things whirling about. We're worried that what are these matters? Worldliness is wanting to creep into the kingdom of God. The dying of hair. The piercing of ears. Just a couple of the worldly things that man has begun to question. What does it all mean? Mary pondered these things. Dear brothers and sisters, God is aware of all things. Certainly we as the kingdom of God ponder many things. There's many things that become troubling unto us. But in God's time, everything will be made known. There's no matter that is not aware, that God is not aware of. And in His time, all things will be made known. What matters for you and I is that our sins are forgiven. If that is all we have, that is enough for us. Let God take care of the rest. His kingdom will be made, all things will be made known unto His kingdom in His time. Sin is still sin in God's kingdom. And sin can still be forgiven this morning. So I offer unto you, dear brothers and sisters, you who feel so, might feel as I oftentimes feel, that my heart has become so cold, even frozen as even sometimes might seem. But when the grace of God can reach and touch that cold surface, sometimes it feels even, maybe even a little bit, that the frost surrounding that place begins to thaw out. Even on a cold day like we have this morning, when the sun that is in the sky reaches and touches that surfaces upon the earth, that surface begins to warm. God's word works also in that same way. when it can burn through the frost of the heart, that heart can be warmed by God's grace. And so I offer unto you this grace of God this morning. You can believe, all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. This grace of God is something that we wish we could just give unto all mankind. I just was speaking the other day to a dear travel friend in this kingdom of God who had been called from the ways of the world unto the way of faith and hope and forgiveness. And he had said that when he was able to experience that grace of God, he wanted to give it to everyone. But it seemed like nobody wanted it. His family didn't want it, or no one else, and he didn't understand why. That is how it is sometimes. But if God opens the heart unto a sin-fallen man of this great treasure that can be given unto them, then they too would willingly accept it. We had chatted a little bit about it, and I had told him that, well, yeah, I suppose. But if you would have had a bag of money and you would have wanted to give that, they would have gladly accepted that. But you had much more to offer and to give than the dollar bills of this temporal world. And so it is, God's kingdom has this great news to offer unto sin-fallen man. And if there's one listening this morning that finds themselves in need of more things than the temporal goods of this world, God's grace is offered unto you. You can leave all of your sins behind and receive in their place this grace of God. You can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And then come and travel with this kingdom of God. This kingdom that is oftentimes spoken against, but nonetheless it is still the kingdom of God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the family of God upon the earth, and it is a holy family. Faulty as we are as individuals, it is still the kingdom of God. It is a place where there is forgiveness and peace offered unto man. And you are the owners of that grace of God when you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Be confident, be joyful. We're in a good place when we can securely trust that our sins are forgiven. Believe sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. I again would like to thank all of you for remembering me and my family during this time of Christmas. It has been nice and it has warmed my heart to be remembered by so many of you, and I thank God that I too could travel in the midst of you all. And I again would, in leaving, would like to be blessed. Will you forgive me for my doubts and sins? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.